All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat down under an oak tree which was in Ophrah." That's not Oprah now, that's Ophrah. "That pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon." So this story is about Gideon, all right? And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." All right, now I want you to notice in verse 11, Gideon was hiding from the Midianites. And yet the angel of the Lord shows up and says, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. All right, you see that? Verse 13, now here's my text. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us," what's the next word?
Why?
Why? Now, nobody in this room has ever asked that question, have you? Does this sound familiar? Why me? I got a question for you. Why not you? Who are any of us that we should go through life unscathed? Why? Why? Oh, we ask that all the time, don't we? Let's start at the top of the verse. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said," now go back to verse 11 for just a minute. I've taught you this, but now you can see it. You know, the Bible explains itself. You know that? If we just let the Bible teach us the Bible, we can learn something. Look at verse 11 again. "And there came an angel of the Lord." And I've told you that every time you see that, that is the Lord himself. And now if you look at verse 14, "And the Lord looked upon him." All right, so there is the definition of who is the angel of the Lord. It is the Lord, verse 14. You see that? "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again." Now go back to verse 13, and I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of why. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for what we have heard tonight already in song. Thank you for the blessings of music and how it prepares our hearts to receive your word. And Father, I pray now that you will bless as the word of God is preached. I pray for you to open our hearts and our minds so we can receive your word tonight with gladness. And Father, I pray that you will fill me with your spirit and help me as I speak tonight. I know that there are hundreds of people in this auditorium tonight who have at one time or another, or maybe they are asking now, the question, why? So Father, help us to see the point tonight. And I just pray you'll bless your word and use it in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Why? This is one of the great and mysterious words of the Bible and of life. Why? When you read through the Bible, you see this little word come up all the time. It's on the lips of many, many, many of God's choicest servants. For instance, it was righteous Job, while in the midst of all of his multiplied trials and sorrows, who cried out, "Why died I not from the womb?" Can you imagine that? Job wondering, why didn't I just die at birth? Job did not curse God for his trials, but he did curse the day that he was born. And he asked the question, why? You'll remember that even our Savior, as we learned this morning, asked God, his Father, this question as he hung on the cross. Why hast thou forsaken me? And here is Gideon, one of the judges in the Old Testament. And Gideon is asking, why? The angel of the Lord appeared to him and called him to deliver the land out of the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord told him that he would, and he was with him. And Gideon said to the Lord, well, if the Lord is with us, then why have all these evils befallen the land? As I alluded to a moment ago, I think it rather hilarious that Gideon is hiding from and cowering in fear from being seen by the Midianites when suddenly the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." I think that's ironic. Here he is starving, so he has to thresh wheat, so he goes behind the barn and is threshing the wheat, and he's hiding, scared to death that he's going to be spotted by the Midianites. And while he is cowering in fear, the angel of the Lord shows up and calls him a mighty man of valor. And by the way, folks, I think Gideon saw the irony in this statement as well, because he responded to the angel of the Lord and said, "Yeah, the Lord is with me indeed. How in the world can the Lord be with me? If the Lord is with me and with us, then why has he forsaken our land?" The Midianites have moved into our land. They have taken what belongs to us. They have stolen our barns and our fields and our threshing floors, and they have built their idols to Baal everywhere we look. So if God is with us, then why is all of this stuff happening? So the story is just filled with the question, why? Why, why? And that question is still asked today by people everywhere. It is asked in the corridors of the hospital when the doctor delivers the bad news. It is asked by folks standing around the casket at the funeral home and in the quiet Gethsemanes where troubled souls kneel before the throne of grace and can only utter one word to their heavenly Father, why? Why, God? Why do you allow this in our lives? Why do you allow these modern day Midianites to devastate our land? Now let me offer some things tonight for all of us to consider as to why there are times when the Midianites seem to have free course to do whatever it is they want to do. I want to give you some advice tonight on how to deal with things when the only thing you can do is stand in shock and in dismay and look towards heaven and ask, why? Just a couple of things I want you to see. Number one, I think first and foremost, we need to realize that we do not know everything. We need to realize that. We do not know everything. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that right now, we know in part, and we prophesy, we preach, we proclaim the word in part. And right now, we see through a glass darkly. You see, folks, right now, it is just not the plan of God that we know all the answers to life's questions. I wish we did. I wish I did. I think I could help a whole lot more people if I only knew all the answers. I've had people, so many people through the years who have come and sat down and said, Pastor, why? Why? And I've had to look at them and say that I do not have the slightest clue as to why this has had to happen in your life. If I knew the why, and if you knew the why, then we would all know as much as God Himself knows. Isn't that right? But we cannot know as much as God knows. We are told in the Bible that God made His ways known to Moses, and yet at the end of his life, Moses had to ask God why when God refused to permit him to cross over into the promised land. You know, the Bible says that often God's ways are past finding out. In other words, you just can't understand. I remember one day last fall, I was preaching down in the Charlotte area on a Monday and Tuesday, and it was pouring the rain. I mean, dark and dreary, and it was just raining buckets down there. And the plane was delayed a little bit, but not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the plane took off, and it was just so dark. I mean, I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, in the coming off the ground and going up into the clouds. And then shortly after takeoff, we burst through the clouds. And when we did, the sun was shining so bright, it was as clear as it could be above the clouds. That sky was as blue as I had seen. I mean, it was just an amazing sight. And that plane just smoothed out. There was no problem. It just went through the clouds, and we were bouncing and bumping all over the place coming up. But once we got through the clouds and got on the upper side, it was smooth sailing. And you know, I think often our view of life is under the clouds. But God's view is always above the clouds. And God sees what we cannot see. There's a verse in the book of Deuteronomy, I think, that might help us. And it's in chapter 29, in verse 29, and here's what it says. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Folks, we cannot expect to know the things that are hidden with God. You see, we would have no need of faith if it was any other way. And we must have faith. This is the way that it has to be now, now that man has chosen to sin against God. This is a part of the human trial, all brought on us because of this thing called sin. And let me remind you, folks, that we must have faith in God in order to please God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this is the reason that our constant prayer to God is, Lord, why? You see, it is sin and its consequences that brings these questions. It is sin and its consequences that bring our problems and our losses and our heartaches. But I want you to realize what the Bible teaches. It rains on the just and on the unjust. And the only way to keep your head above water is to have faith that God is in complete control. Amen. Now, we don't know it all right now. Oh, the day is coming when we all get to heaven and we will know. But right here, we don't know. And so when you have your problems, or when I have my problems and you will have yours and I have mine, we just need to realize that it is our faith in God that sustains us no matter what we have to face. Second thing I want you to see, a second consideration that will help us, is to understand the fact, and that's what it is, a fact. It is a truth of sin and judgment. Now, folks, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to give you. We are always asking why, but when we understand that sin always has consequences, that might help us understand a little more clearly why. Sin has its consequences. I am not saying to you tonight that all of our problems are a direct result of our transgressions. I'm not saying that. The history of Job refutes that theory. And then the Lord Jesus refuted that idea in his comment about those poor folks who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them and tragically killed them. And the Lord Jesus dismissed the idea that these folks who died were greater sinners than anybody else in town. I'm not saying that. But the scriptures teach us, listen to me, the scriptures teach us that sin does bring suffering and judgment. And the scriptures also teach us that the sins of a few can bring suffering upon the many. And I think that is certainly true in our world today. In a very real way, the whole tragedy of human life is due to sin and what has come out of our sin. I think that much of the suffering in our world today is a direct result of men refusing to obey God, choosing sin over God. Men and nations have sinned, and because of that, they suffer, and they suffer greatly in many cases. Let me explain it this way. You cannot murder 55 million babies in the womb and there be no consequences from God Almighty for violating God's word.
Amen.
I think this is a clear explanation of much of our nation's woes today. I mean, we see people walking around indoctrinated with false teaching and false beliefs. We see people walking around today high on drugs. We see people walking around today numbed, getting behind the wheel of a car, numbed on liquor. And they never think of God. They live their entire lives as if there is no God. Our politicians live as if there is no God that they have to answer to, that there is no truth that they must make decisions upon. And every decision they make is based upon some political correct, liberal, anti-God philosophy of humanism. And there are consequences to that kind of thinking and that kind of mindset. There are consequences to the sins they commit. Innocent high school girls raped at school. How sad. A consequence of sin. Innocent people killed in head-on collisions by drunk drivers. Innocent people. And yet they have to suffer because of the sins of someone else. Innocent people that are blown up by Muslim extremists. Folks, we wonder why. It's sin that brings this about. And the families of these innocent folks can only sit around and wonder why. Folks, sin brings consequences. That's my point. When one man, Achan, in the Bible, violated God's command and took the treasures out of Jericho, one man's disobedience caused several innocent people to die the next day when they went to Little Ai. One man who disobeyed the word of God. Now you multiply that by 6 billion people on this planet, and it'll give you a pretty good understanding of why. Sin has its consequences. You see, folks, the problem is sin. In Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, he showed the nation that he understood this principle. With the understanding of an Old Testament prophet, Lincoln told the nation these words. He said, "The Almighty has his own purposes. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom offenses come." Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so it must still be true today. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Wow, what a mind. I'm saying that sin is expensive. And because of sin, how many innocent folks have stood around with tears in their eyes and looked towards heaven and said, why? Why? Number three. Every generation of men has asked the same question. Folks, we're not the first generation to ask the question, why? From age to age, wherever sin has darkened human life, wherever men have drunk their cup of woe, we have asked this question. The patriarchs asked it. The prophets asked it. Gideon asked it. Elijah and Elisha and David and even our Lord Himself. Why? 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 Don't you think Adam and Eve sat on the edge of the garden and looked down into a freshly covered grave of their son Abel and arranged a little vase of flowers and straightened up a little homemade headstone and through the tears looked at God and said, why, Lord, why did this have to happen? You see, the believers of all the ages have faced the same issues that we have to face. But let me give you something to consider. If, like the psalmist, you are troubled when you think upon God and relate His being and His government to what goes on in the world, how much more will you be troubled by the alternative? You say, Pastor, what's the alternative? The alternative is a world without God. A world with suffering and catastrophe, and yet a world without God and without hope. Can you imagine living in that type of world? Let me tell you something, folks. Listen to me now. A troubled faith is better than no faith at all. Just imagine what it would be like if we had to look upon this troubled world without our faith to strengthen us and without hope that the Lord is there to guide us through. Last fall, I was preaching in Sparta, New Jersey for Pastor Brian Phelan. And there's a hotel about 200 yards from the church. But he doesn't put me in that hotel. He puts me in one 30 minutes away. I don't understand why. I've never understood. I just go where I'm told. I drive by that little Holiday Inn Express and wave at it every time and then go right on down the road 30 minutes away and stay at another place. But I was on the road coming back to Sparta, and I saw the first day that I went up the road, and it was still light, but it wasn't, the sun wasn't up, but you could still see. And I'm coming up the road, and I was the only car out there. And I came around a bend, around a curve, four-lane highway, and I saw a big cross, probably that big, maybe a little higher. And it was stuck in the side of a hill. And it had all these decorations on it, and It had some ribbons tied around it. And I looked at it as I drove by, but I couldn't see. I didn't slow down. I couldn't see. Well, the next evening, I saw it off in the distance, and I slowed down. Nobody was around, so I slowed down where I could look over and see what that cross was symbolizing. And there on the cross was the name of a mother and her two girls. And the mother, they had her birth date out there, and then they had the one little girl, and if I remember right, she was 10. And then another little girl, and if I remember right, she was 8. And they had lost their lives right there. Both those little girls lost their lives right there. And I sat there and looked at that, and I thought to myself, how would you possibly make it through a tragedy like that? How would that dad deal with that? How would those grandparents deal with that? Folks, I'm telling you, every generation has had its sorrows. We are not the first one. And if the Lord tarries, I guarantee you we will not be the last. And that leads me to my fourth point. Here's what we need to see. We need to realize that out of evil, God finds a way to deliver good. You see, God is not as silent as the world would have us believe that He is. We have this thing called the Bible. We have a Bible. We have God's eternal Word. We have the blessings of God's Holy Spirit, whom the Lord Jesus said was another comforter. And I'm telling you, folks, God can overrule evil for good. He can use even the most wicked men and the most wicked dealings of men for His purposes and can make the wrath of men to the praise of His name. And I'm here tonight to tell you that God will never resign His throne. You can trust Him, folks. We might not know why, but we can have faith that God is still on the throne and will never give up on what He created for His own glory. So instead of asking why, our part is to repent and to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. You remember when the disciples asked the Lord about that tower that fell in Siloam. And they said, Lord, these people that died, they must have been greater sinners than anybody else. And the Lord said, oh no, you guys are missing the point. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, we're all going to die. Every one of us. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but the day is coming if the Lord tarries where I won't be here anymore. The day is coming if the Lord tarries that Pastor Rick won't be here anymore. Pastor Ray won't be here anymore. I mean, if the Lord tarries, it is appointed unto man once to die.
That's right.
You see, the thing that you and I have to do is realize, man, this is a sinful world we live in. And it may be that sin gets us one day quicker than what we anticipated. It may be that our time is up. And if our time is up, we better make sure that we have repented of our sin. We better make sure that when it's time to leave here, whether you're 10 or whether you're 100, when you leave here, you better make your calling and election sure. And be ready to go. Because you just never know when the Lord's going to call you home. So the truth is, all of us need to search our hearts and get our hearts thoroughly right with God. We're sinners, and the wages of sin is death. And eventually, someday, somehow, some way, sin is going to come and collect on you. It may be an accident. It may be a disease. It may be cancer. It may be a heart attack. It may be of natural causes and you just simply die of old age someday. It may be in your youth. It may be in your middle ages. It may be in your old age. But eventually, death will come. The key is to realize that it is coming. And the key is to be prepared by having your sin under the blood. Are you ready? Could be today. I hope it's not. I hope you stick around. I hope I stick around. But it could be today. And the point is, get ready. Because if it's not today, it is coming. And you want to be ready when that day comes.